and welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I am Jordan Chambly, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Cedra Sarton.
Hey, how's it going?
It's great. You recently just got back from a trip, didn't you?
I did. I actually was hoping that I could open up with a little bit.
Yeah.
So I got to go to NRB, and for the ones who don't know what that is, that's National Religious Broadcasters, and they have, I think if you've listened to AFR for a long time, you've probably heard of it at some point, because we have a group here that goes every year. I wasn't supposed to get to go.
Right.
So, like, I had to take someone's place, and it was a really good trip, except for, you got to hear a little of this, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
The trip up there.
Uh-huh.
So, it was in Nashville, which is how many hours from here? Like,
It's a few. Yeah, it's a handful of hours from here.
And it's not a horrible trip. You can drive it, but we flew out of Tupelo, and for the ones who are not from this area and have never seen it, that is a very small airport.
Yeah.
It's not a large...
It's a landing strip. That's what it is. It's got some lights.
So the little flight to Nashville, it's like once you actually board the plane and it takes off, it's like 30 minutes and you're landing, you know? It's not a long flight.
Right.
But this day, it was just like we got there, me and one of our graphic designers who was also going.
Yeah.
We were sitting there and a couple other employees came that was going to be on the plane and we're talking and then we're informed that our pilot has called in. Yeah. Not the end of the world. It's fine. I've got my Kindle. Read my little bookie.
But, yeah.
And it's fine. But one of our other employees who works here, cool dude.
Oh, yeah.
he sounds like my dad. And he keeps saying, like, man, I could just cancel my flight and drive. And I'm like, we'll do it then. You
know? Nobody's stopping you.
No. Nobody's stopping you. Go ahead. No. He's like messing. And now that he's knows he's getting on my nerves, he's like, he's going to amp it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I showed all my cards right then. I should have just sat there quietly and be like, yeah, sure. But then as we're boarding the plane, I realized I forgot to buy a Dramamine.
Oh, no.
I'm not scared of flying.
Right.
But I have horrible motion sickness.
Same, yeah.
So I'm clutching the vomit bag through the entire flight. Oh, the other girl that's with me keeps leaning over going, are you okay? And I'm like, no. The other guy's laughing behind me and she's laughing. They're laughing at me because I guess I'm funny.
Yeah.
I'm hilarious. We 2 hour delay, sick to death on the plane, finally get to the hotel. They can't find our reservation.
Oh no.
Not the end of the world. First world problems, right?
Yeah. I mean, but still, like, you'd like a place to, you know,
yeah, after being sleep. In this line at this hotel for I don't know how long, because you've got this conference is huge.
Yeah, it was at the Grand Ole Opry, right?
Yeah, Opryland Hotel.
So, oh, that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, the Opryland Hotel. And this place is ginormous.
Right.
And there's tons of people. We make it to the line, get up to the counter, and they can't find it. We give them every name possible. We named every employee here at AFA that this trying to figure out what name this is under. Mm-hmm. And they can't find it. Mm. And the one who booked it came down and tried to work it out.
Goodness gracious.
And they're like, we can give you a room tonight, but it's booked. And he's like, we've had these rooms since August.
Yeah.
So it was a whole ordeal, but eventually we got in a room. And like I told you this, like I said this morning, I got to do your devotion at work.
Right.
The day of this recording.
Yeah.
And I was chanting in my head, like, you're a representative AFA.
Yeah.
You're a representative AFA. You know, keep that energy. Don't snap.
Exactly.
Don't be ugly. Don't be rude. And but it was a good, but overall that, that day it was just like really not that big a deal.
Yeah.
We were really like getting into the room. We were tired and.
Yeah, I've been there. I mean, I've literally been there to that hotel. It's pretty awesome. But I've been there in that situation too, where it's like, you're just ready for the all to be done.
I'm ready to be in the room.
Yeah.
I want to lay back and go to sleep.
Yeah.
But we did. And then the rest of the week was great.
Good.
Got to make connections, meet new people, make connections with people that I've talked to.
Mm-hmm.
See some of the AFR people who don't work in town.
Yeah.
The ones who were remote. And so overall, it was like it was a really good trip. And I think it was very productive.
Yeah. And for the listeners who might not know, you actually work in the marketing department.
I am. Okay. I'm the marketing assistant.
Yeah,
so anything the marketing team needs, I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was sort of a peek behind the curtains into something, you know, that AFR, AFA employees.
A story you totally did not need.
No, but it's entertaining. And I think that, yeah, people would be interested. You know, people who love AFA, they want to see what's going on. And sometimes misadventures happen, but yeah. It's all good. But you did bring up a good point. You were talking about how you were, and you talked about this in your devotion this morning too, how you were talking about, you know, you're a representative of AFA, you know, don't let the stress and the critical moment get to you.
Yeah.
But in your devotion, you brought up a good point too. It was like beyond just being a representative of this organization, which is great and important, we are representatives of Christ. And so the way that we behave, no matter what the situation is, it's going to reflect back on him. Like our reputation is Jesus's reputation because we are his body, you know, on the earth.
And I use Colossians 3:17 for this because we are shared truth apply scripture. And so that verse says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And this is including when someone is getting on your nerves.
Yeah.
handle it in a Christ-like manner. So obviously I did not yell at the little girl over the counter. I might have been on the verge of tears, but we were, you know, very polite. We figured it out, got our room. It worked out.
Yeah.
It would not have been the end of the world, but but that's not the topic.
But I did think it kind of segues a little bit because what we're talking about here, and this is a topic you thought up, and I thought it was really good, is the idea in our culture of, you know, harmless little lies. You know, just the little bits of dishonesty that are acceptable in our culture. And I feel like as representatives of Christ in ourselves in our day-to-day lives, like the challenges that come up where it's like it would be so easy to get out of this situation, or it would be so easy to minimize the uncomfortableness of this situation if you could just, you know, twist the truth a little bit and not necessarily tell an outright lie, but, you know, make it sound a little different, be a little dishonest. And I mean, those situations come up every day for a lot of people. And as Christians, we need to be, you know, aware of this temptation that's out there.
And sometimes we make the excuse that we're lying for the greater good, that we're doing something to help.
Yeah.
So you ever watch a movie and it's, you know, and a lot of movies do this where it's all built on miscommunication and people not telling the truth about their feelings or whatever.
Yes.
Think a romantic movie, you know, and the girl doesn't want to admit to her feelings. She lies and so she doesn't like somebody and it creates this big debacle. Yeah. That's just like one scenario.
That's like 12 movies though.
And you're sitting, but seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
And it like stretches out to this whole thing and it's like, you know what? If she had just been honest and told the truth, none of this would have happened.
Yeah.
Like none of these crazy bad things would have happened. It would have gone a lot smoother.
Right. I wouldn't be watching this movie right now.
Yeah.
It would have been
over in 5 minutes. You know, lying for entertainment value. No. Anyways. But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, like, I really think obviously they amp it up for the entertainment of it. But how many times this harmless little lie that you throw out and you think, isn't going to hurt anybody? In fact, it might help. How many times there are things that you don't see, lots of communication and things happening when you're not around, and it's all, like, built off this lie you told.
Yeah.
And you won't even know it.
Right. Yeah. And I think, too, like, it is very important that we need to be stewards of our words. I think the Bible is very clear on how important our words are. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at the Proverbs, now, I don't have a list of the exact passages, but it's over and over throughout the book of Proverbs talks about how the tongue is a weapon.
It is.
You know, the tongue is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. I mean, it's a powerful thing that God has given us, and we need to bridle it, as Proverbs says. You know, given this picture of putting a bridle on a horse to control it, we do the same thing with our tongue, and we don't let it run away, and we keep it under control. But as Christians, it's beyond just, you know, being a blabbermouth and, having a tongue that's out of control. But it goes beyond that into our tongue. The power of our speech needs to be in line with the rule of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And if he is king of all things, that means he's king of our words. And that means that, you know, him being the truth, you know, he says he is the way, the truth, and the life. If he is the truth, then our words should also be the truth. I mean, and as citizens of the kingdom of God and messengers of the gospel, our words need to be have weight, and people need to be able to trust our words. I think that's important.
Well, so I got a question. Mm-hmm. Is the truth easy?
No.
Not always.
Depends, I guess.
Sometimes
I don't
it
know.
Is. Yeah. There are situations when you're like, hey, what kind of chapstick you got there? I've got this chapstick in my hand, and it's tropical scented, but if I lied and said it's vanilla, okay, that would have been an easy truth to tell. It shouldn't have been that difficult. Yeah. There's no need to lie. At that point, it's pathological. I need to calm down. But sometimes being honest is difficult. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the life of Jesus, he every time he stated who he truly was, was putting this mark on him. He knew it would anger people. He knew from the beginning, obviously he's God, that he would be killed. Yeah. But every time he spoke honestly, when they asked, who are you? Mm. And he told them that I am, and if you think that he didn't, he did. It's obviously in scripture. He told who he was.
Yeah.
And every time he did that, he knew that was just going to put like some sort of, that was just going to, like, people were going to come for him for that.
Yeah.
He knew that was going to lead to his very brutal crucifixion.
Yeah.
And yet he still did it. It wasn't easy. I mean, I guess it was easy for him.
He sweat drops of blood. I don't know if it was very easy. Yeah.
But I think God, you know, God didn't just, I mean, didn't make Jesus completely apart from me. Like,
right.
He had human flesh.
He was, 100% a human being. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, that, in knowing what he knew, to tell what he knew, to tell the truth, knew that that was just another step towards his crucifixion. He knew that. And so, do you think that was easy?
Absolutely not. And then you juxtapose that against Peter, like, literally the same day. Peter's out in the courtyard, you know, I guess the trial is going on in that room over there, and he's out in the courtyard warming himself by the fire. That's what the Bible says. And somebody says, hey, you have that funny Galilean accent. You're one of those Galilean people. And he's like, yeah, you're close with Jesus. You're one of his followers. And Peter's like, I don't know who you're talking about. You know, and he does that three times.
After Jesus told him he would do it.
Yeah, he had heads up. He had warning.
He had heads up.
He had warning. And, I mean, that was probably one of the most shameful moments in all of Scripture, to be honest. Like, how embarrassing must that have been? And then, like, you look at the apostles' dedication to the truth. The writers of the Gospels all knew each other, you know, like this story is in the books of the Gospels that were written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All of these people who knew each other, they were friends with Peter, and they included this story. This is how dedicated they were to the truth. They were not going to spare themselves embarrassment.
Not covering up for the bro.
They were not spare. Yeah, they were not going to spare Peter, and they didn't spare themselves either. They put some, I mean, John put some very embarrassing details about himself and his brother, throwing his brother under the bus as well, about how, you know, angry people.
I mean, I don't know if it was necessarily any throwing under the
bus. Yeah.
So much as just a commitment to the truth.
A commitment to the truth, because not only did they know each other, but they knew Jesus, and they walked with him for years and saw his, you know, concern for truth. And I think we can kind of gloss over, you know, Jesus and the good things that Jesus did and be like, oh, well, of course he was Jesus. I mean, of course, but he was a man, you know? And I believe that when he was tempted, for instance, tempted in the wilderness by the deceiver, the liar, Satan, who would lie to him, that Jesus felt the temptation, that Jesus wasn't just, you know, smirking at Satan like, you know, like, I'm God, you can't, you know, there's no temptation here. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus can sympathize with the weakness of our flesh, because he had the same thing. And so When the disciples and the apostles saw Jesus walking with the Lord, they were witnessing a real Christian life being lived out perfectly by a man who had to try to live out the Christian life perfectly, and he did it. So seeing that, you can tell as they wrote the scriptures and obviously being guided by the Holy Spirit that they spared no detail, no matter how incriminating or embarrassing it was. They didn't make themselves look like heroes. In fact, if you look at the apostles throughout the scripture, most of the time they were cowards. You know, most of the time you see them in their weaknesses. Even Paul, you know, he never wrote about himself as if he's some great guy. He would always downplay himself and, you know, say, I'm in prison here and I don't feel like I'm doing much, but I'm going to write this letter, you know. And so I feel like as Christians, we need to model that that same care for our words, particularly when it comes to sharing the gospel, but throughout all of life.
Yeah. And telling the truth about Jesus themselves did not, that it didn't do them any favors here on earth.
No, it did not.
Obviously, again, we've talked about before where our reward is and it's not here. So obviously, you know, now they're with the Lord.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, they did what they're supposed to and stuff. But here on earth, most all, you know, most of them met a horrible, horrible end. I can't boiled.
Yeah.
Flayed.
Yeah.
I mean, beheaded. So again, this is another instances of the truth being difficult, but they continue to live it.
Yeah. And it's because, honestly, one of the greatest witnesses to the truth of Scripture is that testimony that they have. So the fact that they didn't, you know, see the threat of a crucifixion, for instance, you know, Peter was crucified on the cross in very similar way that Jesus was, but he requested to be crucified upside down, according to tradition. But he didn't see the threat of that horrific death coming and be like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to admit it. It was all a lie. You know, we made the whole thing up to get, you know, popular or get power. He didn't do that. He didn't back down. And he was not the only one. You have, you know, John. You have the other apostles who met these horrific, you know, deaths over the course of time. And not one of them backed down. But not only did the apostles, you also had the witness of people like Stephen. Stephen was not an apostle. He was a deacon. You know, and a deacon back then, I know some modern deacons, they more have the role of elder in a church in some congregations here. But back then in the early church, a deacon was a guy who would set up the tables for their, you know, Sunday lunch.
Yeah.
You know, that was that kind of guy. He would go and he would mow the grass, take food over to the sick widow kind of guy. He was not preaching. But even Stephen, this humble deacon, you know, was so concerned with representing Christ that he was stoned to death. And while he was being stoned to death, he was glorifying God and praying, you know. And that, in turn, was a witness to Paul, who was standing there holding the people's robes as they were stoning Stephen. So incredible testimonies throughout the New Testament of how important the gospel is as the truth, capital T. But all of these things are people who were telling the truth, you know, and telling the truth right up to the very end. And so, I mean, that puts a lot of pressure on us as believers. And we're not, thank the Lord that here in America, at least, we're not facing that kind of opposition.
Yeah.
You know, we have so much privilege here in the States. And
maybe too much privilege.
Maybe we have grown soft. Maybe we have grown a little bit.
Well, I think without a doubt, there are those that have, you know, there are so many instances in churches where they are promoting sinful lifestyles is okay.
Oh, goodness.
They're going against the scripture. And when it comes to that, I look at that and I say, what's the point of being a Christian at all if you're not going to follow the words left to you by God?
Absolutely.
And what's the point in taking some and not following all of them?
Right.
Then again, it's not, that's not Christianity anymore.
Yeah. And a lot of these churches, too, you're talking about you make these little compromises, and sometimes they're not little compromises. Sometimes they're huge.
I mean, any compromise that's against scripture.
A lot of times, the motivation you can tell is they just don't want to face the heat from culture. Mm-hmm. Like they want to be acceptable. They want to be just acceptable to the culture in general. It's like, what kind of persecution are you going to face if you stick to the truth here in the States? Probably just mean tweets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it's not going to be people knocking down your doors in the middle of the night. Not saying that that couldn't happen, and that certainly happens in other parts of the world, but we have such a small price to pay here,
mm-hmm.
you know, specifically here and specifically this time in history, that there really is no excuse for a Christian to misrepresent Christ and the gospel through our words, but also too through our actions. There's ways that we can lie through our actions when the way we live does not line up at all with the words that we preach. And unfortunately, that happens even more often than seeing a church compromise mm-hmm. in word. So these are all things that we need to be aware of when it comes to our witness before the world. But I mean, it's not just those big things. I feel like those big things are sometimes the easy things because, you know, they're big and they're important. And of course, I would never lie about Jesus. Of course, I would never do that, you know, because that's a big, important thing and have all this urgency behind it. But what about, you know, when your kid just will not stay in bed and it would be so easy to lie to them somehow or to manipulate them in some way just to so get them in bed.
If you don't stay in bed, yeah. you'll die from no sleep.
Yeah. That would be a horrible thing.
I think if you quit getting any sleep,
hey, that's
like
true.
Ever,
yeah, it would take a little while.
But I think that's a little bit dramatic.
Yeah.
I think here's one.
Mm-hmm.
You're somebody texts you and mm-hmm. asks you if you want to go do something.
Uh-oh.
And you make some you make up some illness. Hey, man, we all got the COVID over here. Or something.
Oh, I feel so called out right now.
Oh, okay.
This doesn't happen. But this would be my tendency.
Because you
when
don't
somebody's like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like,
hurt.
I'm busy right now.
Yeah, you don't want to hurt someone's feelings.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And here, you know, you don't want to hurt someone's feelings.
Yeah.
So you think the best way to do it is to lie and say something else
yeah.
is going on. How much more hurt would you be if you found out someone lied to you
yeah.
than for them to say, I'm sorry, man, I'm just not up for it tonight?
That's true.
If you're honest with me, I'd be like, oh, bummer, I would like to hang out with you,
yeah.
but maybe another time. But if you told me, I don't know, like we have COVID, and then I ran into your parents
mm-hmm.
at the store,
mm-hmm.
and I've actually run into your parents before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
they're chill. They're cool.
They're pretty cool.
You know, and I look at them and said, "Hey, Jordan and Anna, I was supposed to hang out with them, but how are they feeling? Are they over COVID?" And they look at me and they go, "COVID? They don't have COVID." Bet that phone call's coming,
yeah.
buddy.
Hey, this just for our listeners, this never happened.
This never happened.
This is a hypothetical.
This is definitely hypothetical. He didn't do this to me.
Oh, yeah.
They've never invited me to come hang out. Like, how much more hurt would I be?
Yeah.
And if you think that your lie won't come to light, it will.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what's
exactly?
I mean, it can
mm-hmm.
very well. Maybe you'll get away with it.
Yeah.
Here with mm-hmm. the people you're talking to, but mm-hmm. it's another thing you're going to have to answer for later.
Yeah, and if you know your friend who is a non-believer and you've been witnessing to them, maybe or you know they know that you attend church regularly, you read your Bible, you're a born again believer, and one of those little situations comes up where. You know, you get out of something with a little white lie, or you are something less than reliable in your word towards them, and they notice that. That goes a long way to damage your reputation.
Yes,
there is nothing more like when there are people who are critical of religious people in general, but like Christians
yeah.
particularly, they are so happy to point out hypocrisy and. Inconsistencies between behavior and what we say.
You've had to get blasted on social media, buddy.
Yeah. And you might deserve it.
Yeah.
But again, that's why it's so important. And I don't want to be legalistic here. Obviously, we're going to make mistakes, and the Lord has grace for that, thankfully. And you know, someone's salvation is not on our shoulders. That's on Jesus. But you can do damage to the witness. Yeah.
Well, I think of a friend who mentioned a time that his parents used, like, this little lie. Mm-hmm. Like, some people do, a lot of people do with their children.
Yeah.
I've probably lied and told my nephews that something with my ice cream was spicy because I didn't want them to want any of it, you know, and stuff like that. But it was something else, a little bit more than that. Mm. And when he got older and he found out he'd been lied to, he started questioning everything his parents told him. And that's even about Jesus. He said, I started wondering if Jesus was even real, if they're going to lie about this, you know. And so, yeah, it can do damage to your witness big time.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why it's very important for your children, too. Goodness. I mean, that can be so easy because in the mind of a parent, and I've been there, you think, oh, they're not going to remember this. Like, I want to tell you something right now. A little 3-year-old remembers everything.
Oh, it's scary.
They remember everything. 2-year-olds remember everything. And they will remember everything for a long time. So don't think that, you know, the little inconsistencies, they're okay, you know, in front of your kids because your kids aren't going to care or remember. That's probably the most important time to be consistent. I mean, it's all important, but these are people that God has put in your life specifically for you to disciple. And that's non-negotiable. So if you brought those children into the world, you owe it to them to demonstrate what it means to live under the reign of King Jesus, to be obedient. Well, man, this is a good conversation. And it is convicting. It is convicting.
I know.
And I think that it's very worth having. I hope that people who are listening aren't too mad at us for bringing things up.
Hey, we are stepping on our own toes
yes,
as well.
That's
we
true.
Are calling ourselves out. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, absolutely. But again, a good conversation. So yeah, thanks for bringing it up. And we might revisit this sometime in one form or another. But again, thank you for listening. And until next week, continue to share truth and apply scripture. Thank you.